Welcome to the Creator Coco podcast. I'm your host, Ian Wambai. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's Creator and then COCOA. In this episode, we do part two of use cases for artificial intelligence and the future of technology. We talk about several amazing AI applications like Grand Theft Auto, DALL-E, and we also talk about possibilities for AI in the year 2041. I hope you learned something that helps you become a better creator. Feel free to stop me if you have any questions about anything that I'm talking about. I'll just summarize what I just said, which is that we are here to learn about AI. I feel like AI is something which has changed our world already. It's just that a lot of us don't know what it's capable of and how it's going to affect our future. And I think having a discussion like this is a discussion that is going to be useful. So even you guys, as you're thinking about starting businesses or making applications, you can also consider AI and how it can influence you. It's not just used for searching or the, for example, when we think about AI applications, we usually think about things like Google search. We usually think about things like, the Instagram feed. And that's not what AI is necessarily. That's just a small part of it. And the funny thing, which I also learned recently, is that Google only started using AI for its search engines in 2015. That's about 7 years ago, or it just feels like very recently. So before 2015, the Google algorithm, the one that fetches all the search results for you, was hard-coded by human beings. And I'm bringing up this timeline because just to show you how recent this AI revolution is, and it's just basically a new thing that I would like us to be talking about. So the first thing I want to show you here today, after speaking about OpenAI last time and some of the text processing, today we're going to talk a bit more about visual AI, I guess. So I'll start by talking about something called GameGun. So GameGun is an AI. Basically, it watches video games. Show it a video game like this one, like Pac-Man, for example, and then it learns the rules of Pac-Man by watching, and then it can also create the game itself just by watching a game. So imagine in the future, the developer doesn't have to tell the game how the game is going to look like. The game can learn from reference materials. You don't necessarily have to do all the coding yourself. I'm not sure what else. So overview, GameGun, we're interested in training a game simulator that can model some stuff. I'm looking for any interesting text here. That's a bit technical. So GameGun was trained on the official Pac-Man from Bandai Namco. What else? Yep, so this AI basically watches games and then it recreates those games. So I know the examples here are a bit retro. For example, it's showing games like Mario, or it's showing these games like Doom. And maybe that's not so relevant, but just to show you how this would apply in our future where you play popular games, they also trained GameGun to simulate GTA. So they showed GameGun a copy of GTA, and GameGun was able to observe how GTA works. After that, GameGun generated its own game. And the interesting thing here, and the mind-blowing thing here, is that, let me play this, share this tab instead. So there's a video which I'm playing here. I hope you guys can see what's happening. So it looks like a dream world a bit, where there's a car in the center, and then in the distance, you can see things like the hills, you can see a road, you can see a car here, and it's a bit dreamy. And the reason it's a bit dreamy is because it's the AI that is generating what you're seeing. So even these cars that you're seeing were not hard coded. So there's no developer who said that there should be a car or there should be a road or that this car should be black. It's the AI that is deciding in real time as you're controlling it. It's generating a new, basically the game is being made as you're playing it. And that is huge. That is just a, it's like it's an amazing thing that now is possible with technology. As you can see, the graphics right now are pretty bad. Let me forward a bit to see if there's any other. Okay, here they show a bit of the processing and exactly how they ended up doing it. But even the controls were not hard-coded. Like you, it's a game you can play, and the AI will take your input and kind of format it out and try to create a game for you while you're playing it. So that's amazing. And probably in the future, games are going to look like this. So if you want to learn more about this, you can watch this video on YouTube. It's called Playing a Neural Network's Version of GTA 5. And yeah, so that's it. That's Game Gun. So I want to know those of you who are gamers, whether you understand this idea or if you have any questions or if you have any interesting comments about Game Gun. So let's see. I'm going to ask. Hi, Brian. Thanks a lot for joining us. Welcome to the meetup. So that's Brian. Cliff, do you have any comments or questions about Game Gun? What do you think about it?
I think it's impressive, especially how like they're able to get the graphics that quickly. Like how they're able to
Exactly.
design like a car immediately like that.
Yep, so it needs a lot of processing power, but as how technology has been progressing, things like this eventually get cheaper and cheaper to run. So imagine if you combine something like this with the idea of cloud streaming, which is the idea that instead of you downloading a game on a CD and you like basically inserting it into your CD, you can just stream that game like Netflix. And then the device is not the one, the device that you have is not the one doing all the processing. The processing is being done on a cloud server somewhere, and you're just being streamed this. So if you combine those two ideas, it's going to be possible for you to be played, to be streaming this like on Netflix, on any device that you have. Like it's just streaming a video, you make the input, it goes to the server, and this processing can happen on a server somewhere that's powerful enough to handle this. So even the processing itself is not a big deal, eventually over time. So let me also go with Kiplangat. Do you have any comments or questions about this? Any observations? So that's it. Yes,
Hello.
Kiplangat.
This glad to be here, and I haven't really got a maybe at the end of the session, maybe I can speak because I came late, so I don't think I should speak much.
Oh, so no
Oh,
problem.
no problem.
We were just showing an example of this AI that can generate games. So okay, so that's Game Gun. Feel free if you have any comments to let us know. So that's Game Gun. Let me now show you another. So Stella, do you have any questions or comments?
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I just wanted to ask, is it the same kind of AI that plays chess with you? Does it do they go on the same kind of level, or I don't know, because I also feel like the AI that plays chess with you has to just go with the move that you've made at the moment, and then they kind of think through it. I don't know.
I'd say they're similar in terms of how they learn. And for example, for this AI, usually how they're trained is there's a couple of different ways they train AIs, but usually you provide the AI with a lot of examples of what you want it to do. And then also you let it teach itself by playing games against itself. In that case, they're similar in that they're both AI. It's just that this one, instead of being fed a chess moves, it's being fed something which I think is even more complex, and that is visuals and all these pixels that it needs to render, it needs to figure out, it needs to generate something that looks like a landscape. And also when the user presses something, it needs to know when to whether to go left or right. So it's actually in the same vein. It's still all us trying to use computers to do very human things. So one of them is an AI that can play chess and think and just basically decide what's the best move to be made. And then this one just decides what should I show next when it comes to this game.
Oh, thank you. You mentioned also that it works using a neural network. Was it a neural network that you mentioned? How does that work?
So let me just look this up. Neural network. So let me share this. So with a neural network, it's basically a way of training an artificial intelligence. So even if, like, imagine, and I think we have a lot in common with artificial intelligence ourselves as human beings, even in the way we learn, and we can also learn from how AI learns. So with AI, you basically give it input. So you give it, let's say you want an AI to recognize a picture of a cat. And before AI, what people had to do was they had to hard code. And if you want to tell a program, here's what a cat is. What happened was you, as a programmer, you have to tell the program if you see something which has fur, whether it has ears, whether it has X or Y or Z, that's what a cat is. But in reality, a cat, it's very hard for us to write rules for what a cat is. So that's where AI comes in, and that's where training comes in with deep neural networks. I think this is one method of training AIs or one format of AI. So you give it input, you tell it, these are pictures of cats. So you give it a bunch of pictures of cats. And then you also give it, so you basically give it a bunch of pictures of a cat, and then when that data goes into the neural network, so it's even here it says it's hidden, and the reason it's hidden is because as human beings we don't really understand what's going on inside the AI processing, because first of all that processing is it's processing probably sometimes millions or billions of images, and it's processing them extremely fast, and it probably extracts information from those images that we can't put into words. So when you give it a bunch of images of cats, it starts learning from those images. So for example, you want to compare the images of cats with the image of a dog. So it will compare that image of a cat with the image of a dog, and then it tries to compare its results to itself. So it does it a few times. It compares basically and tries to learn whether or not it's good, and then it outputs something which is like a model. I'm not sure that this example is the best, but let me see. But basically, with a neural network, this is how usually they're visualized, where you give it an input, and then eventually you give it a, it brings you an output. So a neural network is a series of algorithms that endeavors to recognize underlying relationships in a set of data through a process that mimics the way the human brain operates. So, yeah, they have all these neurons. I'm not sure that that explanation like was even the best. I'm sure there's even a simpler explanation that you can give about neural networks, but it's just a way of training the AI by giving it a bunch of information.
Thanks a lot for that. You've made it a bit more clear.
Okay, so I've shown you Game Gun and I've shown you that. Now let me go to another one, which is a text-based AI. So this is another way AI will change the way gaming works and change the way we simulate reality on like basically in digital form. And right now this is a basic version of that. But if you connect this idea with the idea of Game Gun or the idea of video games, you're going to see what I'm trying to tell you. So this platform here called AI Dungeon is based on it's based on the GPT-3 through the OpenAI that I showed you guys last month. And what it does is it's basically a conversational AI that you can connect with to build a story. So let's pick a story. So let's say that we want a cyberpunk kind of setting. And then we want to be a character. So I'm going to say I'll be a cyborg. And then it's saying the character's name. So we're going to say AI guy. AI guy, that's the name of our character. If we say this, now it starts to generate a story. So at this point, it's using AI to try and create a realistic conversation. So it's a bit of text here, but I'll read through it a bit quickly. You are AI guy, a cyborg living in the futuristic city of Zale. You have a bionic arm and a holoband. You're walking down the dark city streets while neon lights flash brightly above you. As you pass an alley, you see a man lying on the ground. He seems to be in a bad way and you wonder if he could use some help. What will you do? So it's given you a prompt and then it asks you, what do you want to do? So let me say something realistic, like I see a man lying around. I approach the man and I zoom in his name. Let's just see what this is gonna do. What this is gonna do. You approach the man and ask him his name. Yes. So now it continues the story. Like it continues the story in an organic way. So this is not a hard coded. It's an AI that is responding based on the actions which I decided to take. Before, there were games like these, but the responses were hard coded. So it says here, I approach the man and ask him his name. My name is Sheeran, the woman replies. Do you mind if I ask what happened here? You say. I then pull out a gun and shoot her in the leg. That is like a random action. Like she was just talking to me and then I decided to pull out a gun and shoot her in the leg. So let me see whether that'll have any response. Yes, so she screams, "My leg!" She yells in pain. Sorry, I was in a hurry, you say. Then shoot her in the leg again. Ow, she yelps. So as you can see, it's like kind of building the conversation with you. And you can just continue like this in any kind of setting that you want. And just talking to it, it returns the story. And then you build up the story as time goes on. So that is, it's called AI Dungeon. If you want to basically come here and experience an infinite story, because it's an AI that is generating the story and you won't run out of ideas. You can just have a long ass conversation with it. So the reason why, now that's one example, but it's in text form. Now imagine when you're playing a game, something like, let's say you're playing a God of War or you're just playing a video game online and it has characters who are having conversations. In the future, the conversations are not going to be hard coded. So someone just joined. So in the future, the conversations that we have with the video game characters are not going to be hard coded. So usually when we talk to video game characters, the conversation goes, is very robotic. It's very repetitive. It's very like, it's just not cool. You don't feel like you're talking to human beings. And we got used to that. But with this technology, we will be having real conversations with NPCs in video games. Whenever they respond or they talk, if you combine this AI of coming up with words with another AI of generating voices, then you have realistic conversation in video games. So that's another way that this will affect gaming. So what do you guys think? I see, welcome, Paul. Thank you for joining us.
Energy.
So, and Sawa, so anyone with a comment, Cliff, Paul, Kiplangat, or Stella, any comments about AI dungeon, or does this make any sense? Let me, okay, Stella, Tambia.
Yeah, I feel like it's super cool because, for example, the Zelda has nice conversations. Oh, let me ask you, did they use AI for the conversations in Zelda?
So, for example, the conversations in Zelda, those ones were all hard-coded. So someone had to come up with, to sit down, design this character, and for each character, you have to have, like, I don't know, 5 to, I don't know how many, 5 to 20 different things that they can reply to you. So even Zelda was hard-coded, and it's repetitive if you try to talk to the same character again and again. But it's done so well. The writers did a good job. So what do you think?
Oh yeah, then it will definitely enhance games if I can talk endlessly to a character. Yeah, so I think it's pretty dope.
So, any other comments, Cliff or Kiplangat? Then we'll move on to the next one. Sawa. Okay, so I'll show you the next example of cool AI stuff. So this next example is called DALL-E. So if you watched the movie, there's a Pixar movie called WALL-E, but this one has been called DALL-E. I don't know why. I can't remember why, but whatever. So let me show you another thing that AI can do. So this is more visual. And let me try here, an illustration. So the idea with DALL-E, it's still from OpenAI, is you give it a text prompt, and then it generates an image for you. Sawa, so you say, give me an illustration of a baby X walking a dog. So you can basically, sorry. So you can basically go there and say, give me a picture of a phone, or give me a picture of a rabbit talking to a dog, like just something random. And then the AI will literally generate the same thing for you. So the same way you go to Google Images and then you search for an image, you can also come here to DALL-E, and then you'll be able to search for an image. And then instead of the image being gotten from the web, it can be created automatically instantly for you there. So now let me show you how that works. And that's an amazing thing. So we have here a text prompt. So you say, I want an illustration of a baby radish in a tutu walking a dog. They currently, where it is, you write your own prompt, but they allow you to change these texts here. So you can say, I want a bunny. And then look, it's generating images, like it's generating new cartoons based on what I wanted it to do. So in a tutu, I'm gonna say no, in a leather jacket. And then let's go back to tutu. So in a helmet. So look, it's generating different images really just based on what I'm telling it. So this is going to be the feature as well. Imagine a feature like this in Photoshop or I don't know where, on some website where you just go and say, I want an image. And then instead of you having to Photoshop the image, you having to do X, Y, Z, the AI will automatically just take your text and create examples for you that you can choose from. So here it's walking a dog, but you can say maybe serving ice cream. And yeah, it knows what ice cream is. It comes here, it knows what a helmet is, and it's generating images for me, custom images that I don't think anyone else would have. And this is going to be the future of something like finding new images of graphics, of graphic design. it's gonna really affect things. But for now, it's not out yet. It's still just a demo here on this website. So that's DALL-E. What you guys thinking? I think it's cool. Think it's have any ideas for it? Cliff, Kiplangat, any ideas? Any comments on DALL-E? Do you guys use graphics in your projects? Do you think this might be useful?
Yes, actually. Can it generate logos? For example, if you give it symbols or names or letters rather.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure that if it ever releases, you'll be able to just say if you want a logo that looks like an S, you just go and say S logo, and then it generates all these different options for you.
Oh wow, yeah, that'll be.
I think actually one of the demos is actually a logo. So sorry about that. Let me try to find. Yeah. So look at this. So you tell it a storefront that has the word OpenAI written on it. Okay, it's a bit repetitive, but look at this. The prompt was, I just want a storefront that has this word OpenAI. So look, it generates even the logos in different angles, different kinds of styles of architecture. It's not just cartoons. So what do you think about that?
That's so cool. I can't even.
That's,
and I can see.
You can even like design so much for a company and give them so many options, and even you didn't know could be cool to use. That's pretty cool.
True that. Yes, and you guys can now see how things are about to change. Like, once these things start becoming more common, and they say jobs are going to disappear, but the person who starts learning about these ideas, like you start being curious about AI and what it can do, this opens you up. So for example, imagine the difference between a designer who is using this tool and a designer who has to create all the options themselves. Eventually, no one is going to want to hire someone who does, maybe there's still people who want to hire them, but I just mean that in terms of productivity, the person who uses this is going to be able to create a lot more options, as Cliff has mentioned. So that's real productivity, a real productivity boost. So any more comments about this one, which I think it's pretty cool. So we'll see how it will go. Any comments, questions, Stella?
So is this, you've said it's not currently free to use. Okay.
Not yet, yes. Let's see. Does it have to be open AI? So they even have others. So let's say backprop. So I've changed the word to backprop, and it's just generating new options for me for different logos, different icons, different how it could look. So things are going to change for people. The one conversation I think people, when I hear people have, that's when I know that we're still not where people understand what AI is capable of. Because the conversations I see people having are still whether AI is creative or not. And the truth is, AI has already reached that point where it's creative enough. And once you realize that is when you realize kind of how the future is. AI can write stories, AI can create art, and that is a segue into our next project. Let me close these. Sorry, our next project, which is called the Morph Gallery. So in terms of AI being able to create art, I want to now show you now what artists are doing with that same technology. So this is called the Morph Gallery, and it's a gallery, basically. It's a really fancy modern gallery, but it's just only based on AI. So the artists are using AI in different ways. AI is being used to paint, as you can see. Like the artist, like you separate yourself from the art, and the art becomes what the AI can create. It can repeat the brush strokes exactly the way you want. And people are actually starting to sell art and to actually take AI created art very seriously. So as you can see, people are combining programs and their art. They're combining programs and painting. So you see they're already sold out. AI originals. Let's check some of these ones out. So yeah, look, AI, and this is like probably a canvas. As you can see, I can see texture on this piece, and you can see all the different paintings. And this was all done by an AI. So imagine an AI creates the idea of the image, and then the AI eventually also paints it itself. So as you can see here, so you give it different strokes, and you can't say that this is not art simply because it was created by AI. And the other thing is this also has a physical component, so it's not just digital, although you can also do digital as well. So just go back to the home. Yeah, so I just wanted to show you guys that AI is also making art, and the people who can afford it, the rich guys who are in those circles, some artists are starting to market themselves as AI artists, and they're actually selling, and these galleries are a real thing, and people are actually interested in buying the art. For example, this one, let's look at this one. And oh, by the way, the other aspect of this art. This AI art is art that would not have been possible if a human being was trying to do it. It's also another aspect of AI art. Apart from it just allowing us to make normal art, it's also allowing us to create artwork which would never have been possible without the AI. So let me try. I was trying to see one, but let me see if this one will open up. So check this out. How crazy this piece is. And human beings would not have been able to make art like this. Like, you can't sit down by hand and try and create this by yourself. So it's beautiful. And AI is a tool now. You can use it as a paintbrush. So that's AI generated art. Let me see if there was something else about art. Yep, there's one more thing here where I want to show you another website called the AI Art Shop. And here you can literally see art is being made by AI. So programmers can be replaced by AI, artists can be replaced by AI, but you're not going to be replaced if you use AI as a tool. The guys who are selling these paintings now are using AI as a tool to make art and to sell it. So you shouldn't think of AI as something that's gonna replace. It's just gonna make you more productive, so you can make more paintings with more colors, with more options. And yeah, that's AI art. Any comments, any questions? So let's go down the list. I will ask Cliff whether you have any, are you interested in art? Do you consider yourself someone who, have you ever looked at any paintings which you're interested in? And what do you think about this idea?
I'm not usually into art, but I think this is really cool, because I think the biggest question about AI, like you said, is AI creative? And from what I can see, you can't even tell the difference between this. You can't even tell that this has been done by AI. So that's really cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think more people should realize that we're past that conversation. AI is actually smart enough to do things which we thought was only the domain of humans. So Kiplangat, any comment on that? Do you like art as well?
Oh yeah, I like art. When I have a hobby of writing, so maybe I saw one for where it was able to continue a conversation. I think that's good for making a play or something. Yeah. So, but I have a question. Do they have like an API or something?
For the writing one specifically, the answer is yes. So that one is the AI that I showed you guys last month, which was called the OpenAI API. If you use that API, you can use it to complete your stories. You can use it to make yourself more productive as a writer. And for these art ones, I'm not sure that there's a specific API, but there are websites where you can go and click and get automatically generated art. So the APIs are popping up as well.
Okay, thank you.
So, and Stella, any comments?
Yeah, this is extremely cool. I find it interesting, and it would be nice to see if it can also make sculptures. Maybe later, I don't know. So I find it very interesting. I had a question. This looks like it's a very specific kind of AI made to recognize art or to make art. If you need a very specialized kind of AI that probably isn't there or is expensive, how can you make your own, and is it possible?
That's actually an awesome question. I think the same way we have app developers, I'm not sure that this is true, but maybe in the future we'll have people whose job, okay, even now we do already, people whose job it is to create AI. And then hopefully it becomes now easier for people to create AI by themselves, so that if you have an idea for an AI, you can just sit down and create it. And then the data is there, and then you can train it. Basically the data is all there. It's just up to you to come with the idea for how you can train your AI to recognize that data. So there are websites where you can go and make your AI art, but at the same time, there's also, if you want to get into the code itself, it's also possible for you to do that. So anything is possible, and you can definitely also create your own AI. I'm just not sure how challenging it is. And then also with the question of whether you can, Kiplangat, you can tell us.
On making AI, yeah, you can make your own AI. Like Python allows you to create your own AI. Also Java, JavaScript. They have libraries that are really easy to use to create AI. Python, I've used Python for some time, like in language processing, NLPs, natural language processing, and image processing, and they really are easy to use. Maybe if you've heard about this TensorFlow and Keras, and those are what Google use. I have book, yeah, let's say a cookbook on Keras. So maybe Stella, if you are really interested, I'll send you.
I am very, very interested. Thank you for that, Kiplangat.
Okay, thank you, yeah.
Sawa. And also, just to add another thing here, which I wanted to show, was that Stella, you asked about whether AI can do sculptures, and the answer is yes. So if you look here, you're going to see an example. So that's an AI sculpture. If you combine AI now with 3D printing, now you've just created a whole new kind of way of making art, which is now making sculptures. You can make them as random as you want. So the AI can do all of that as well.
That is so cool. I just can't. That's really awesome.
So let me now move on to our last one as we wrap up. And this is a book that, okay, it's an author who writes about AI. He's called Kai-Fu Lee. Yeah, Kai-Fu Lee. And he had a previous book which I was reading called AI Superpowers, but then he recently released this book in actually 2021. That's just the end of last year, I think. This is just a website where you can see a summary of the book. So, because I want to pull out some lessons for you guys. And in this book, he does a very interesting thing. Sorry, let me scroll. He does a very interesting thing in this book, which is that It's called AI 2041, this book. And for every chapter, he puts us in a situation 20 years from now, in 2041, where it's kind of fictionalized, where he tells a story about people who are living in that future and how they have to interact with AI in their daily lives and how it's affected how they have relationships, how they drive, how they do X and Y. So it's kind of a fiction book. And what he calls it is, instead of science fiction, it's called scientific fiction, because he's trying to use the information we know now to try and predict the future by telling fictional stories about characters all over the world. There's people in Nigeria, there's people in India, there's people in China. And he just kind of tries to show you how AI is going to affect those people. And it's a very good idea. It's a very good place to draw inspiration from if you want to figure out how our future is going to be. And some of the things he talks about in the book and the stories he gives. So true autonomous vehicles. This is coming with Teslas and all the electric vehicles as well. They're going to, at some point, be truly autonomous. That means that they will be moving themselves, basically. And we will not be... Cars will be like lifts, where you just go in and then it does its thing. You say where you want to go and then it just takes you there. They're going to have incredible medical breakthroughs. This is because right now, when you think about it, it's a bit scary. We rely on doctors and human beings to look at very technical, like, results, like cancer results. We rely on them to look at bone fracture results. And you depend on this guy and his education and his experience to be able to correctly determine whether or not you have a specific disease. I don't know about you guys, but I think that's a bit risky. Like, if you can have a machine that goes through, or an AI that goes through all these cancer scans, it goes through all these medical research results, and then it tries to use that to diagnose you, we are going to have, or even not diagnose you, even find new medicines, even identify diseases and find the vaccines and things like that. So that's going to happen in AI. The only problem here is data. We need a lot more medical data for the AI to become even better. The other part that's coming in 2041, apparently, is going to be extended realities. So, and this is just beginning now. The idea of AR and VR and constantly being connected to the internet, that's something that's going to be there, I think, in 20 years. You are not going to be able to tell the difference between your physical and your virtual world. I think they're both going to be aligned together. And your notifications will pop up in your eyes, or you'll have some earbuds in your ear implanted so that you're always listening to something. Basically, the virtual world and the real world are going to be combined. And the people who don't have AI connected to their brains are going to be left behind. And then there is the same thing, virtual reality and all that. And then we have incredible teaching tools. So the same way we've just had a conversation with an AI, that AI can read about someone like Abraham Lincoln and then respond to you as he probably would have. So the AI can learn about someone and then try to do that. He also predicts a few more things, like the end of physical work. Like, if AI is doing a lot of this thinking and a lot of this working, what is left for human beings to do? And that's a conversation we have to have. So are we going all to need an income if there's not enough jobs because AI is doing everything? Or are we all just going to turn into artists who are just selling each other art based on marketing, I guess? So he also predicts a few more very optimistic things, which I'm not so sure about, because even now in 2022, we're still having a war. Like Russia is still invading Ukraine, and we feel like we're in the modern world. And at the same time here, he's trying to say that the end of much suffering. I'm not so sure about that. But one which he mentioned, which is going to be a big deal, even in this coming, if another war happens, basically, if a world war happens, I think AI is going to be involved a lot. And we're going to have a lot of autonomous weapons. So the country which is going to have the automatic weapons, the automatic drones, the automatic AI-driven weapons, those are the ones which are going to win the next war. because war is going to depend less on people. People aren't interested in fighting wars anymore. And I'm not sure we'll be able to convince people to get into that. So a lot of it is going to switch to automatic warfare, where it's just drones and things killing people instead of other people killing other people. And yeah, those are some of the interesting AI insights for the future. I hope this whole talk and this whole thing inspires you to basically see how the future is going to be, even a little, so that you can prepare for it. You can start coming up with business ideas. If you see anything here that you think is interesting, come up with a business and start early before it becomes a, I don't know, commonplace.